Hallelujah. Can we stand up? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore see we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His word. God bless you. Be seated and be really reverent. And let me just try to conclude this. Try to get the tape. I've been taking that for the past 3 services. This is the 4th service. Looking at the things that want to draw you. You want to move forward. The weight and the sin that disturb your spiritual progress. And that has rendered some of us unfruitful in the things of the Spirit. In our service to God. That's all we've been talking about. And remember, my emphasis has been that you should watch your heart. Watch your heart. Last week, I looked at the solution to a backsliding Christian. The solution to the, you know, what you will do to restore yourself. What you have to do for your restoration. Everyone that is backsliding. Everyone that is struggling with your spiritual life, with a besetting sin, or with a weight that cannot allow you to move forward. I stressed earlier that this message is for believers. I stressed earlier that this message is for those who want to live a life pleasing before God, but they have weaknesses around them that disturb this decision they've made. I'm talking to people who are making effort to serve God. I'm talking to people who are unhappy with their spiritual estate. I'm talking to people who know how they used to be when they first gave their life to Christ. Now, comparatively, they are seeing their estate now. It should not be like this. You know how you were before. Something happened. And I say, what is the solution? Praise the Lord. And the Bible says something, amen, that we are washed, in Ephesians chapter 5, we are washed with the water of the word. I want you to take note that we understand the things of the Spirit by the natural things. That just as you bathe this body, every day you go out, you clean this body by washing it. Every day, the end of the day, you wash it. If you don't wash it, you will smell. Whoever you are. Especially women. I want to revenge one sister here. One sister came here during women fellowship. I was telling the women that brothers don't wash their underwear, that a man, men, sometimes they don't wash their pants, they can use it for 1 week. I have defended you, don't worry. I came and talked after. I said, will they wash our pants? Will not they wash our pants? Praise God. Amen. Okay. Now, especially women. Because women have all manner of hormones that are excreted all over their body. If a man will bath once in a day, the woman must bath twice. In fact, a man may bath once in 2 days, but a woman must not bath less than twice in a day. If I'm correct, sister, say amen now. So you agree with me. So you have to wash. That is the picture Christ was giving on Ephesians chapter 5. The washing of the water by the word. Let me tell you, I keep stressing it to our brethren. Fasting cannot make you holy. Fasting cannot make you stop committing sin. Those of you who fast, you will stop committing sin only that period of your fasting. As soon as you break and finish, the body will say, Haba! For 3 days, I never dwell. Even the food that you didn't eat for 3 days, after you broke your fast, you eat everything. Return everything, restore. So very seriously, fasting does not reveal God to you. Fasting does not make you to fear God. Fasting does not make you to love God. Praise the Lord. What is it that makes you, you know, and fasting does not make you to be powerful, spiritually speaking. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the sword of the Spirit is in fasting. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. It's the word. Praise the Lord. And so also, what God uses to clean us up, to clean a dirty heart. Fasting cannot clean a dirty heart. What God uses is the word. That is what He uses. To wash us. You can never live. Look, watch it. Those who take Bible study seriously, who study their scriptures, watch it. Their Christian life always is better than those who don't have time to study the word. Hallelujah. The Bible says, Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Amen. Hallelujah. The strength of a Christian is determined by the quantity and quality of the word of God in you. When Satan wants to keep you carnal, what he does is to make you, get you too busy to study. Too busy. When Satan wants to get you. So, a complete Christian, a powerful Christian, is one first and foremost that has the sword first. Then he sharpens that sword with a fasting life. A holy life. You become untouchable. Nothing stands against you. Nothing. Amen. As long as you don't present yourself for God to use His word and wash you up, spiritually you will remain unclean. And just as physically, when you are smelly, there are some people that have terrible body odor. Now, I want you to also notice, I told you we learn spiritual things from physical things. Do you know that those who have body odor, do you know that they don't know that they are smelly? Eh? It is other people that come close to them and know that you are having body odor. So also, it is you, the Christian. When you are backsliding and you have gone carnal, you don't know. It takes a spiritual person to tell you, brother, sister, you are carnal. You see? And so, you may be gifted. And you want to excuse yourself. I'm not smelly. You are smelly. But the life that you live, you are smelly. And nobody stays around smelly people. So also spiritually. Hallelujah. He said, draw nigh to God, and he, God, will draw nigh to you. But without holiness, no man can see God. And holiness is the estate of living a life pleasing before God. And how can you know how to live a life pleasing before God if you don't know his expectation from his word? If not, you'll be living in self-righteousness and thinking that you are living a holy life. And so, the angels around you, they cannot behold uncleanness. They also draw away far from you spiritually. So here you are. He said, break the edge and serpents will bite you. God's protection leaves you when you leave him by the life that you live. And it is not at once. Before you fall into the one everybody is seeing, it starts from the heart. The backslider at the heart. The heart is this. From the heart you begin to backslide. That is why the Bible says, guide your heart diligently, for out of it are the issues of life. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Hallelujah. That's why he said, the psalmist said, wash me and I will be clean. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be clean. And I stressed something last week that is instructive, that for a leprous man, Naaman, to be healed, he needed to be washed. The prophet told him, if you want to be healed, go to River Jordan and dip yourself 7 times. The water in River Jordan. The water in River Jordan. And Naaman, like I said last week, a type of our denominational juggernauts, a type of proud spiritual people, who will tell you, Naaman say, is there no other fine, fine river in Syria that I will only go to this river Jordan and dip myself? Let me tell you, believe his prophet and ye shall prosper. I'm telling you, anything the prophet said, do, do it. In this seventh church age, there is the word of the Lord to us. God's standard for this age. Take heed to what he is saying. He gave us the water that will wash us in this age. God sent the water that will wash us in this age. Through that prophet of God to this generation, that man, William Marion Branham. And you are saying, you want to go to some other rivers to bathe? In this age, this is what the Lord is saying. Isaiah 28. Isaiah chapter 28. And then we shall open Jeremiah chapter 2. But it's Isaiah first. Hallelujah. Always remember, those of you who have rejected the message of William Branham, the message that God sent to restore his church back. And the Bible says, there is a way that seemeth right unto man. The way you have chosen to serve God in this age. My Pentecostal brothers and sisters, religious people, there is a way you have chosen to serve God. But the end of it is the way of destruction. I'm telling you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because you must always remember that the word of the Lord always comes to the prophet. That is how God ordained it. Every move was by a prophet. From Egypt to the promised land, it was by a prophet. From the law to grace, it was by a prophet. Now that grace has been denominated, he said his word again through another prophet. Come out of her, my people. And we have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. And we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original. You say other rivers, Uncle. What about that men of God? Big men of God. In Africa, in Nigeria, the whole world. Big. This is what the Bible says. Verse 8. He said, Isaiah 28, verse 8. For all tables. Did he say some? In this 8, did he say some? All tables are full of vomit. All tables, not some. All tables are full of vomit. So that there is no place clean. All tables full of vomit. The tables there is the altar. Where the word of God, the carcass, is supposed to be served. He said they are full of vomit and no place is clean. And this is the age this prophecy is fulfilled. Why? Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. This is the way he put it. I'm reading it up to verse 19. This is the way he put it. He said, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Is Israel a servant? Is he a homeborn slave? Why is this point? Christians. Every time, deliverance. Verse 15. The young lions roared upon Israel, upon him, and yelled, and they made his land waste. His cities are born without inhabitants. Also the children of Nob and Tarpent have broken the crown of the head. Hast thou not procured this unto thyself, in that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, when he led thee by the way? And now what hast thou to do in the way of Egypt? People who left Egypt, they are going back to Egypt. Worldliness have taken over the church. To drink the waters of Sihor that God cursed, that God turned to blood. Or what hast thou to do in the way of Assyria to drink the waters of the river? Thy own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, said the Lord of hosts. Now my emphasis is verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. He said, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns. They have hewed them out cisterns. What is a cistern? A cistern, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. A cistern is an artificial reservoir for water. In every construction site, you would notice they will build one cemented place like that and pour water there. Amen. That is the water they use to work in a construction site. Water tanker will come and then empty it there. That place is called cistern. Now, he said, they have hewed to themselves, they have forsaken him, the source of living water, flowing water, clean water. And instead of drinking from there, through their doctrines, their teachings, their creeds and dogmas. They have left that clean water and they have built themselves cisterns and put water inside there. Now, let me tell you something about that water. Because that water does not flow. After some time, what happened to that water? It's contaminated. So what happened? Frog will jump inside it. Waka! Mosquito will be breeding their eggs there. Every manner of things will come there and feel comfortable. Because there is nothing to clean it up. Amen. And that is the condition of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, imagine that you are now dirty and you want to go to bath. And then that is the water they give to you to bath. Will you ever be clean? That is why we keep telling you, baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ. Your sin can never be washed away by Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Amen. They cannot minister genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost anymore. They teach the people to speak in tongue. Hallelujah. All manner of things now have crept into the church. Why? The kind of water that is available. I'm saying something very deep. To let you rejoice that God opened your eye to see the clean water for this age. When we tell you, thus said the Lord. The sister, imagine the marriage committee. He said, you must come with virgin hair. Our young sisters, yay. If you ask them now, what is your church? I am bride. Which bride? You know you are not part of us. You know it now. Amen. The thing that makes an eagle to have strong feathers is not gum that they gum down. It's not aradite. An eagle is from birth. What he is from inside. A dove does not go to the river to bath. A dove, does he go to any river to bath? No. What is cleaning him? There is a special oil that comes from inside. That is always cleaning him up. Any little thing that touches, he will just pop, 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 pop. The thing will just fall off. So, he never go any river. You've not seen him go anywhere. But look at the dove. Very clean, very neat. But you know, a vulture is not like that. Have you ever seen a goat by the wall side cleaning himself? He can't now. It is only a sheep. Once there is any stain on him, he's uncomfortable. So if you see any wall, he's cleaning it up. Cleaning it up. Cleaning it up. But a goat, no. That is why some people don't eat goat. It's because of goat meat. It's because of the smell. That's why some people don't eat goat meat. But me, no matter how you smell, I go chop you. I chop goat away. Praise the Lord. So there are goats in the church that feel comfortable in uncleanness. There are pigs in the church that feel comfort. When I say church, I mean Church of Jesus Christ. I care nothing about holiness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 22 and verse 23. This is the way he put it. He said, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and, my emphasis, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Today you are here, tomorrow you are there. You are not steadfast, for he is faithful that promised. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the water must be first and foremost clean. So important. And pure. It must be clean and it must be pure. Clean in the sense that it must be thus said the Lord and thus said the Lord alone. Not by any man-made doctrines. It will not help you. Don't preach with any idea of man. It will not help. We are called to obey. We are not called to reason. And obedience is better than sacrifice. Praise the Lord. And please listen. The Bible describes new believers as newborn babies. It's using, it said we should desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. And so I can borrow something too from there. As newborn babies. And if we are supposed to be washed with the water, when you are born again, hallelujah, where you give your life to Christ determines how clean you will be in your spiritual growth. When a baby is born, why do they always send, you hear the mother of the woman that they give birth, they say she come to do mugu for some time. What? She come to do mugu now. Amen. I thought they borrowed that name from Hausa. Mugu is Mumu. I thought they borrowed it, that the woman will come and do Mugu for some time. Okay. Now, what do you call it? Omugo. Omugo. Okay. Why do they bring her to come to do it? Because, listen, that's the truth. Number one, she has experience. She has experience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If it is, you leave that woman. Amen. I watched a little clip my wife showed me one time, you know. A lot of these funny clips they send through this social network. And maybe not their first baby in the maternity or what labor room there. He was there holding his wife and she was screaming. Then they brought the wife. The baby came out and the baby did not cry. So the nurse slapped the baby. Pap! Pap! Then the father said, what? Begin blow the nose. Why should you beat my baby like that? You see? But from experience, if you don't hit that baby like that, the baby will not cry. The vocal cord will not be released. Experience. Amen. When you meet, and when we talk about experience, William Branham said something. He said, you have no right, any claim to come into the ministry, the fivefold ministry, he said, until you have met with God at the backside of the desert. Amen. Now, Christianity, the ministry, is a practical thing. You don't learn ministry in a classroom. Because the lecturers in the school of theology, they have no church that they are pastoring. What are they going to teach you? What they teach you there is intellectualism. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Can't you see that the best coach for a football team, every coach, one of his pre-qualification is that he himself was a former footballer. So his experience to come and coach the rest. You have no experience, and then you want to come and lead people. Hey! And when I say experience, praise the Lord. Nobody gives his life to Christ immediately and begins to enter into the fivefold ministry. You must undergo a training. If not, they are the ones that start and the ministry will fold up later. Or there is no peace in that ministry. Why? They have not yet been properly trained. Jesus Christ himself used 3.5 years practical training with his disciples. And even after that, he told them, don't go yet. Go to and tarry in Jerusalem and wait until you receive the promise of the Father. For ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says so. Praise the Lord. I have told everybody and I will continue to say it. You cannot be a pastor without a gift. A practical power gift with you. David was taking care of his father's sheep. A lion came and took the sheep of his father. Right under him, he pursued the lion and delivered the sheep of his father alive. That is what qualified him to be a king of Israel. If he can do it for an animal, he will do more for a human being. God call me, God call me, God call me. Amen. First and foremost, a shepherd must have the sheep food to feed the sheep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. And the pasture there is the keeper of pasture, sheep food, is the shepherd, known as the pastor. You cannot be a pastor when you cannot preach the word, teach the word. You must feed them spiritually. That's why I get very worried when somebody stays in this ministry for years and is still as carnal as anything. That means I have not spoken anything that has the person has benefited from. That's true. That's why you do all the nonsense you do, contrary to everything we teach here. Then also, amen. I cannot be a pastor without some measure of power over the people he has given me to watch. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You must be a specialist before you can take care of that newborn baby. And that is why people are surprised. How do we have so much gifted brethren here? None of these ministers that you know here have been prophesying all these years. Plus those who came and ran back to start some mammoth work ministries around town. All of them, none of them came here with the gift. And I've been telling all these inter-message pastors who keep disturbing us, please send one prophet to come to us. So send one to come to us. I say, since this church started, I have not invited anybody to come and revive this church. 17 years now. I say,
Why are you not able to bring up your own? Every gift you see here is made in bright.
Here.
What is it? An experienced pastor. Midwife. An experienced midwife. Notice a gift. Then we nurture it from experience. We bring it up. Specialists. Listen. Praise God. Hallelujah. When you, a little child, you give birth to a little child, and then you hand over that child to the grandmother to take care of that baby, to grow up under a grandmother, you know, everybody that grow up with your grandmother, you become a spoiled child. Do you know why? The grandmother only has you as a pet. Doll baby. Oh, the child of my... So God, make me see my third generation. Don't shout at him. Don't make him cry. Anything he wants, he will give up. What happened? Now my grandchild. That child will not know how to cook. That little girl will not know nothing, no manners. Nothing. And there's something he grew up with. Every time he cry. Every time cry. If you marry that kind of woman, now cry every time for your house. Why? Because he never see any strong face way face her before. Come on, don't do this. And the husband they say, why are you doing this? Why are you looking at me? They're shouting at me like this. He has never seen it before. Amen. And there are grandmother churches. There are grandmother churches. You see, be careful with them. Let them just come like that. You know, just preach love. You know, just preach love. You know, just give them time. You know, it's grace. And don't keep the people too long. You know, the brain has the rate of assimilation. Like when it gets to about 2 hours of, you know, it does not assimilate again. That is why we have 3 services every Sunday. You know, so that, you see, you don't weary the people. And you select the language. You see, you know, you don't just shout at the people. You know, you appeal to the people. You are a grandmother church. Grandmama! Hallelujah. And it is worse if the person is a hireling. I saw an advert in the newspaper during the week advertising for pastors. This is a qualification, pastors. Hallelujah. And then they are employing people. If they employ you to go and work and set up a branch for them somewhere, who will you be loyal to? Okay. You only preach what the headquarters tell you to preach now. If not, they will sack you. And you will make sure, because you are rated by the amount of money you send to the headquarters and the number of people you are able to gather. So such a person is not looking for souls. He's looking for members. So that he can send a report to headquarters. He's doing very well. So will he preach what he's supposed to preach? Praise the Lord. That is a hireling. Oh, glory be to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Always remember. Amen. That the sponge that you use to bath is determined by the type of debt on that person. Am I correct? When you want to wash breakable plates that they just finished eating, You know, there's one rubber sponge like that. Foam. You know, you just use foam. Pew, 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 pew. It's over. Now, the pot where cook that food. The back of that pot. What do you use to clean it?
Iron.
Iron. That's what I want you to note. Now, you too, you want to bath. Now, every time, now, locks you they use. You know, those sweet smelling, you know, beauty products. You come the bath and come the bath and bath and bath, and then suddenly you come out your cloth. You can't see rabies, scales everywhere in your body. When you are going to the bathroom after that day, will you still use that Lux soap? What will you use? You will use the soap that will kill that. The former one you they use, you know, it cannot remove this thing on your body. So it is with the word of God. Praise God. When you come to a ministry like this, that is why we talk the way we talk. They have torn your thinking. They have changed it totally. The gospel we have now is not for God so loved the world. The gospel we have now, repent or perish. That is the gospel we preach now. Repent or perish. Hallelujah. We cannot say, come anyhow, come anyhow, come anyhow. It is time to spank you. We will spank you. With the koboko of the word. You don't like what I'm saying. But you soon discover that what I'm saying is what will clean you up. The water that we're using now must be clean water. Thus said the Lord. Nothing beyond that. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26. For if we sin willfully, that's the emphasis, willingly, willfully, because you know what you are doing is wrong, because we have told you. For if we sin willfully, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins. What is it that remains for you? But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Verse 35. For everyone that is hearing me now, verse 35. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. That promise is eternal life. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come. And who is he that is coming? And you will not tarry. Listen to verse 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And he added, children of God, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but we are of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hebrew chapter 12. We cannot draw back. We cannot draw back. I read it again from verse 1. Hallelujah. Because we cannot draw back. Wherefore, see, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Put it aside. Throw it aside. And let us run
with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Take note, who, for the joy that was set before him. There is a joy that is set before us. The hope of glory. That songwriter said, it will be worth it all. What all the trouble when we see Jesus. All trials will seem so small when we see him. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrows will erase. So gladly run the race till we see Christ. It will be worth it all. It will be worth it all. We may be suffering, they may be laughing at us because of the stand that we take. Jesus Christ is our example. He knew the glory that was awaiting him. If he can go through all the sufferings he went through in the hand of his enemies. That is what propels us. Knowing that our sufferings can never be in vain. Our faith can never be in vain. You may take the whole world from me, but I will not lose heaven. Oh yes. It's a decision I have made. Nothing will stop it. We have Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And what is the result? And he sat down now at the right hand of the throne of God. He said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Consider it, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds because of little problems we are going through now. After all, verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have not yet resisted. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Verse 12. Hallelujah. Verse 12. Are we there? This is the way he put it. Wherefore, those of you who are backsliding, those of you who for any reason the fire has quenched, he said, lift up the hands which hang down. Do you know why he said lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees? What he's saying is, because you have backslidden, you have fallen, you cannot confidently now lift up your hands. The songwriter says, so we lift up holy hands in one accord. You cannot lift up your hand because you know you are not holy. So you are there, no more confidence, even before God. Always guilt. And your feebleness, because you cannot kneel down anymore and pray. Because of your condition. Anybody in that estate. Verse 12 again. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. And the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. But let it rather be healed. For it is written, the righteous falleth how many times? How many times? But he shall surely rise again. 7 times. Let's bow down our heads. I don't know who I've spoken to. That the enemy has dealt with you. Taking advantage of your backsliding condition. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Lord, have mercy on me. I've wandered that far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. The path of I'm coming home. Coming home.
Coming home.
Coming home. I saw somebody at the altar.
Open wide.
Open wide. I don't know who that person is. I want to put the devil to shame. I want to start all over. I've lived a careless life. I want to come back to you now. God bless you, sister. Come to the altar and let him know the decision you have made. You know, you're not coming to me. You're coming to him. I was about closing. I saw somebody at the altar. God bless you. You know, you're not coming to me. As you need that, you talk to him. One that far away from home. As you are coming, I believe that is your decision. That's your decision. The path of sin to love. Oh Lord, I'm coming. Oh, coming. Decision now. Wasted my life. Living a useless life. But now, I'm coming back to my Maker. No more yama lifestyle. Call me home. Backslider. I'm tired of sin and stray. I'm tired of committing sin. I'm tired of living an unclean life. I believe thy word. Receive us, Lord. Receive us, Lord. My soul is sick, my heart is sore. Yes, Lord. Because there is no peace to the wicked. You will never have peace outside of Christ. That is the truth.
I'm coming home. I am coming home.
Coming home.
Lord, I'm coming.
talk to God. Maybe you are sitting down there. God is looking at your heart too. Don't behave like Cain. Are you satisfied with your spiritual estate? When you gave your life to Christ, is this how you were spiritually? Some years back, is this how you were spiritually? You are backsliding and you don't know. And it is something that is drawing you back. Talk to God. Lord, take this away from me.
In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. And so, our Father and our God, thank you for the conviction that goes with your word. And thank you for the heart of repentance given unto these ones. Thank you, Papa, of all you have convicted them, Father, and bring them to the altar. Great, excellent Father, receive them and renew their strength in the name of Jesus Christ. Great Jehovah, carry out, Papa, in their life the necessary spiritual operation and remove those things, oh God, that they may have deposited there that draw them back in the name of Jesus Christ. Cause every appetite to die in the name of Jesus Christ. Eternal God, every wrong appetite, emotion, desire, feelings, Lord, that enemy has released upon them, that draw them to sin, Lord, let them die at this altar in the name of Jesus Christ. Let them die natural death in the name of Jesus Christ. That they will search if they cannot find it anymore. Father, any demon connected to these feelings, this appetite, this evil desire that weakened us spiritually, Papa, today, let there be total separation in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, the seed of your word that are anchored in their soul, eternal King of glory, may you water them that they will germinate Christ in the soul in the name of Jesus Christ. Papa, as they get up from this altar, Master, into their hand have they been committed. And you are able to keep that which I committed to your hand, Papa, to the day of Christ. Watch over them, Father, that they may be your true children in the name of Jesus Christ. Let the devil be put to shame in their life from this moment in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Grant them an unction or refreshment, anointing or refreshment, anointing of renewal in the name of Jesus Christ. Let something germinate from this side of them, Papa, from this moment, oh God, that we may not to remain the same again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Hallelujah. You may go back to your seat. The Lord bless you.